It's praise time. Who's going first?
For bringing you back.
Welcome home.
Journey, and also for the oncoming trips that I'm having.
Yeah.
And for all the help, and I'm good to see everybody here, that everybody's doing that, you know, moving forward. And I praise the Lord also for overcoming this COVID thing. Jesus,
amen.
I pray and give thanks.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Praises.
I'm here.
Linda's here.
Me too.
Liz is here.
Okay, I'll give my praise.
What's your praise, Keith?
The last two clinicals were downtown Houston, and this next semester I'll be at Clear Lake, which is like 60 minutes
from my
home.
Cool.
That's awesome.
It may seem little, but when you're making that drive to downtown Houston, trying to concentrate on what you do when you get there, it may not be so little. Cool. Mary, what's your praise?
Okay. Remember I tell you guys that I'm reading the Bible to this young man in Jamaica. Well, last night we were reading. He's a new Christian, and he doesn't pray much. But I taught him, I said, listen, you have to learn to pray like you're talking to God Almighty. Just talk to him. And last night he prayed, and I was amazed. I was like, wow, you're learning how to talk to the Lord. It's kind of exciting, you know, to read a lot of scriptures, you know. We were in Proverbs last night, and we were reading. He said, I said, good, because he really doesn't know much about the Bible. So when you read all these exciting things,
yeah,
and then we talk about it, you know, it's exciting. I just love reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And I read it with power behind it.
Amen.
You know, it's exciting.
There is power behind it. There is indeed. Is the power in the book, or is the power in what it says?
The power is in God. It's in the Word.
It's in what it says.
Yeah, just
it's in what it
says.
You know, people sometimes actually turn the Bible, the book, into somewhat of an idol. It's put in this special place in the home, and it's used to decorate and kept dusted, and
you got to read it.
You got to read it. That's what it says. That's where the power is. Okay, who else? Joshua, you were just that much ahead of Jerry. I mean, a smidge.
I just want to praise the Lord for a safe trip to Waco and back twice. I want to praise him for several things he's done for me. We got to bring a barbecue pit back that I hadn't seen in 3 years, and wasn't a thing wrong with it. Wasn't no rust in it, nothing like that. We did clean it out and cook for the neighborhood and stuff, so that was a lot of fun. I just thank the Lord for allowing me to do that.
Cool. Amen. Amen. Jerry.
Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving just went so good, so smooth. Turkey was really good this year. Dressing was really good this year. We had more people, I think, than we've had in a long time. Everything went perfectly smooth. Just praise the Lord for that. And another one, did a power steering pump yesterday on my truck, and that went real smooth.
Cool.
It didn't have to, and it did. So, praise the Lord for that.
You know, it was singing. Well, I had one of those that was singing to you.
Leaking.
Well, that too. All right, who else? Carrie.
My house is sold completely.
Amen. Got it sold, closed, collected, and done, huh? It's sold and closed and collected and done.
Closed, and money's all been moved.
Amen.
And that's a praise for Glenda, too.
Yes, I had a closing, but I didn't want to say anything.
Excellent. Sherry, you playing with your hair, or got a praise? Okay.
I'm just glad to be here.
Amen. We had a nice holiday. I have a praise. And that's that the kids got to come down. They got it all balanced out between all the places they got to be. And so we basically cooked dinner on Friday and had two Thanksgivings. Of course, we have Thanksgiving every day.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to praise the Lord that we in this country get to have a holiday that is designed for giving praise and gratitude to the Lord for what he's done for us.
Amen.
Sure. Amen, sir.
That's one of the best things about America. It's still there. I'm sure they're trying to change it. But right now, it's still good. Karen?
I'm just going to say my praise was being here Thanksgiving, and when you walked in, it meant a lot. when you came in and ate dinner with us.
Well, it was good dinner. Y'all, that turkey y'all fixed was one of the best I've ever eaten in my life. It was so moist. It was that breast meat was dripping. It was awesome. I don't know what Jamie did.
He just
experienced.
He was asking Lisa about how she does it, and she. But I don't know what he did, but it was right. Whatever it was, Sherry.
Also, want to praise God about teaching your grandkids and your kids and stuff, and them remembering when it comes to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we always right before we eat, we get in a circle. Yeah. And they got to go around the circle, and they got to say something that they're thankful for, and then we pray.
Yeah.
And everybody was getting together and getting their plates, and my grandson, who's 12, goes, are we going to say what we're thankful for first?
Yeah.
For them to set
Amen.
That in their minds to
Amen.
Know. I think that was really cool.
Praise the Lord.
I've done it with my kids since they
the
were
things,
little.
The examples that you set before the kids, mark them and mold them for their entire life. And when they're not good examples, it works the same way. And you can't undo it.
Exactly.
And the devil can't undo it when it's a good example. So praise the Lord. Josh, you had your hand up again.
Come on, praise the Lord. We were in Waco Sunday, so we couldn't make it back here in time. We almost went to church there in Glenda. And Christine decided she just wanted to watch it on live here, and glad we did. That sermon was really cool. I learned more about Thanksgiving last Sunday than I've learned almost my whole life. It just seems like that happens every time there's a sermon here at this church. I learned more than I've ever learned anywhere else. So I just praise the Lord for this church.
Well, I just hope you'll still be able to say that after today. We'll see if you're still grateful after the service today. Jerry sneaks ahead and read the message back there while I was in the booth. Sorry, so he's been grinning all the time. He thinks this is just his kind of sermon today.
Better put your seatbelts on today.
Well, anyway, you get what the Lord gives me. I'm sorry, but let me tell you something. It's not always easy to preach either, but it still has to be done. All right, who else? Other praises. This is it. Thanksgiving, we had a week of, and that's all we got?
I got another one.
All right, okay. All
Addison right. Trusted Christ Sunday on the way home from church. Praise my God. Granddaughter.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Yep.
Praise God for that.
In the last month, I've been able to see three more come to Christ in Bible classes. Of course, we'll see where it goes from here, but that's the foundation. That's pretty incredible to watch God do what he does. And, you know, get to be there, get to show there. All right, let's see. I know how I need to do this. I need to do like I did with Keith and say, Clarissa, what's your praise?
My praise is that I'm here upright. I hurt my back a couple weeks ago and spent about a week hunched over, so thankful that I'm walking and out of my house.
Did you catch up on your prayer life while you were down there?
Yeah.
It'll kind of do that to you, huh? Mary, you have...
I was like, why, God? Like, why? Because I feel like I was coming back around and being a lot more faithful. And like, what? How much more do you want from me?
Well,
I don't know.
God always lets you. If he takes you to the woodshed, he always lets you know why. May not be before you go or right there where you're at it, but you're going to know because he's faithful to do that. Anybody else? Nobody else. That's praise. That's it. Bob didn't have a praise, and Mary didn't have a praise. And Jerry's got enough to make up for you. All right, Jerry, go ahead.
Thanksgiving is the only weekend out of the whole year that I know I only get a four-day weekend. So I get a four-day weekend.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, it's Thursday. That's four-day weekend. You count on it. That is kind of cool. Brenda, what's yours?
I was thankful that I got to go to Navasota yesterday and visit with my daughter and grandson, and he's growing like crazy. He's almost 7 months old, and he's you know, just...
You spoiled them rotten, too, didn't you?
Smiling constantly. It just...
Oh, that's awesome.
So precious.
Yes.
That's cool. Mary, you had your hands sneaking up again.
Yeah, you said I did not give a praise. Of course, I gave a praise. I did.
You did? Well...
Yeah, I gave a praise. So I'll give another one. Praise to Jesus! Okay. I love you! Hallelujah!
All right, that'll work.
Amen.
That'll work. Anybody else? All right, Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27:1. Of course, we're down to verse number 4, but we'll review a little bit. Proverbs 27:1 is one of the most well-known scriptures. Not as well-known as John 3:16, but... And you might not remember the address, but if I said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, how many of you would recognize that as coming from the scriptures? No? Yes? No? That could be in somebody's poem. Actually, that thought is in a lot of poetic writing and philosophers and stuff besides the Bible. I wonder where they got it. I know which one's oldest. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth; a stranger, and not thine own lips. Bragging on yourself is usually. How's that working for you? Well, it usually doesn't work out very well. Stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. That went all over the place. Now, where we are today is verse number 4. Wrath is cruel. And anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? My question for you is, envy, do you practice, are you guilty of envy? Sometimes. Is it always a bad thing?
No.
I would think it's...
Some of you think how many think it's always a bad thing? You people are not brave at all. You don't speak up, raise your hand. You just think. What someone else has.
Is it always a bad thing?
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily if you want to have a relationship with Christ like someone else has, but I guess, you have your own personal relationship, so. Yeah,
okay. Okay. All right. Well. There is in this country what's known as an entitlement mentality. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Tell me what that is.
It means they are owed something. They feel like they deserve something. They are owed something.
Okay. I'm entitled to... Now is the enrollment period for Medicare. So if you're old like me and you have Medicare, which... Most of you who ever have any miles on you do.
Soon.
Will. Till December 7th is your enrollment period for your supplement plan. You can buy a supplement plan between, I think it's October 15th and December 7th. But if that, you can't get one. You whatever you got at the end of December 8th, you're stuck with for the year. So I'm watching all these commercials. I can't turn them off fast enough sometimes, but, you know, it doesn't matter what's on. One of those supplement Medicare programs is going to be on the commercial. If they spent half as much money on our co-pays as they did on those commercials, nobody would pay anything. But they don't. But anyway, one of them says, I called to get more money. And another one said, I called to find out what my benefits were. And this one of the guys says, I call to get everything I deserve. And I think, what an idiot. Anybody that wants everything they deserve is got to be not very bright or not very informed. But our money man always says, better than I deserve. So that's a good thing. But envy. There's a difference between wanting what someone else has and wanting the opportunity to have as much or something like what they have. You see, some people want what you have. and they're going to figure out a way to, they're going to figure out a way to take it from you. And we have a government filled with people who are supposed to be watching out for us that are pretty much wanting what you have. I'd like to have a car like that one that you have. Is that wrong? No, that's not wrong. It might be dumb, but it's not wrong. Yeah, it might not be wise, but so there's another guy who says, I want your car. You know, I still want you to pay for it, but I want the car. Yeah, there's a difference. That's what we're talking about here. Somebody wanting, envying, jealous of what you have. Would it be wrong to want to sing like someone who was a really good singer? To envy their vocal talent?
They love to sing like that person. I don't think that's envious. That's not a powerful envious.
See, if you wanted to sing like me, that definitely wouldn't be wrong. Wouldn't be very smart, but it wouldn't be wrong.
Be your bass player.
Well, yeah, you know, okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't quit my day job.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
No, you're not. Because you need your day job, too. You understand. Josh, go ahead. What was your hand up?
I was going to say, a lot of times the grass ain't always green on their side, so you see something that someone else has and you want it, maybe you need to dig into what it took to get there, because you may not like what it takes to get there.
Or what it takes to keep it mowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still has to be. Well, I think envying someone for, like, their vocal talent or wanting to be able to, or wishing that you could sing like them could hurt you, because you could be preventing yourself from fulfilling your own purpose that God has for you. Because obviously God didn't bless you with that talent. He blessed you with other talents that you need to be trying to figure out what they are so that you can use them for Him.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And if you were able to do all the things that everybody else can do that you think is cool, what would happen then?
Wouldn't have any time.
Huh?
Yeah. Have time.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't end up doing out anything, because you couldn't, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. There's only so much time during the morning service. There's only being satisfied with what God has given you. What's that called?
Success.
Called contentment.
Contentment, yeah.
Paul said, I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, and he's not talking about Texas or Louisiana, he's talking about the environment therewith to be content. Now that took some learning, because his environment was filled with rocks being thrown at times, and bars, and stone walls, and his environment wasn't the kind that most people would ever be content with. But how is it that Paul could say, or is it how is it that you could say, even in a, maybe you may be in a really valley of a time right now, how is it that you would be able to say, or that anybody that trusts the Lord would be able to say, I've learned to be satisfied with what God's given me? Gilbert?
Well, he was a Pharisee, so he was attuned to be the best of everything at one time. And recognizing with Jesus, he humbled himself that he gave up everything. And in fact, he was in contrast and an instigator and an enemy against Christianity. And he came out forward, and then he became the most humble. And I look at him as a peer. He wrote most of the New Testament through the blessings that the Lord has given him. And today he's not accounted that way, but to me he is. He's a pillar of the New Testament.
We'll take you over to 1 John 5:13. I'll just read it to you and point something out. John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? That's half the verse. What does believe mean? means to trust in, to trust, to depend on, to rely, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What does that believe mean?
Trust the Son of God.
Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. What was the first half of the verse talking about? What kind of trust was that? Keith?
Trust in what he did on the cross, pay for your sins.
Trust him to save you for eternal life.
Right.
Now, have you done that?
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, well, what about the second half? And that you may believe or trust on the name of the Son of God. What's that for? What's that about? With your life. Well, that's a nice general, you know, preachy little term to put out there that doesn't really mean anything unless you put some details to it. How do you trust Jesus with your life?
To know that he's in control and he will see it through.
All right, knowing that he's in control. Is that what this is talking about? Well, the answer is no. It's not. You know, you have to know that he's in control before you could ever trust him. So trusting him is something else. What is it?
Letting him have control.
How are you going to not let... Okay, God, you can't have control today. Unless I let you. Yeah, I'm right.
Instead of us trying to...
Might not be later, but I am right now. Okay. All right. I know you guys what you're going to say. Go ahead, Clarissa.
Trusting in his promises that he gives you in his word.
Okay. All right. Do you agree with that?
Basically, trusting him for everything else.
Yeah. Well, what if you trust God to heal you?
He didn't promise to heal you.
Yeah, he didn't, you know. But I got this thing coming up this week, you know. If that been out on a text, some of you got it, some of you didn't. But I got this thing coming out because I have a blockage somewhere, heart blockage. And I'm going to be going in to get it fixed. Well, I could say, well, I'm just trusting God to handle it, to heal me. Is that something that I get to do? No. What do I get to do then?
He'll see you through it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go through it. Here's the thing. Envy. We'll go back to that thing. Contentment will definitely solve your envy problem. Will it not? Well, how can you be content when you're in the hospital with somebody sticking a wire up in your heart? Or...
Because you know he's in control.
Well, now that's what Sherry said, but I didn't agree with her now.
Well, you got to trust the Lord, know that the Lord's going to help you. Ask him for help, and you know the Lord's going to help you through it.
All right, let me ask you this. Now, I know that God tells us to pray, and I believe in prayer. I know. But come Saturday, after the procedure's done, is it going to be different because what we did or didn't ask God now?
Yeah, no control group on that, Pastor. Can't tell.
That's right. And the truth of the matter is, probably not. Let me give you another verse of Scripture. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, that's prayer, right? We receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We do some of the dumbest things as Christians that just blows my mind sometimes. We got somebody we love laying in a hospital bed. One of our children is out who knows where doing who knows what. And we're praying and we're asking prayer for them. And then we turn around and do something like, well, I'm going to stay home from church because we want to have a party this week.
Because I got things to do.
Yeah.
I mean... What does this say? I'm not trying to change the channel here, but when you trust God for whatever, it's not determined by how many times you ask him or how many beads you click off on your little necklace saying, well, I asked him this many times, so he's going to have to. No, it's going to be determined by what you did beforehand, whether it was pleasing in his sight or not. Whatsoever we ask, we receive because we keep his commandments. This is 1 John. So we're talking New Testament commandments. And do the things that are what? Pleasing in His sight. Most of us know when we're doing something that's not pleasing to God. We know. And the fact is, we go and do it anyway. Sometimes. Sometimes we're smart enough, wise enough to not do that. But if you are content with what God has given you, and I'm talking talent, I'm talking treasure, I'm talking time, which equates to your health. How many years do I get? However many He has chosen for me. Well, wait a minute. That's not determined yet. Yes, it is. It's appointed unto man wants to die. That appointment's been set, and you're going to keep it. Are you okay with that? Are you content? Do you envy? You know, sometimes if you're going through a period of really hard times and you're sick and you're in pain and you're suffering, you could envy Kayla, who went to be with the Lord before her 14th birthday. Kayla wasn't envying anybody. She was happy with what God had given her. You know, I've been with people when they die. Some of them, boy, you talk about a broad spectrum of ways how people face it. As a matter of fact, I was sharing this testimony with one of our boys this week. It's about Carolyn Gunderson. Some of you remember Carolyn. Cecil does. Jamie does. Carolyn was dying of liver disease, and she was lost. And I led Carolyn to the Lord in the hospital, and her pain went away, and she got up the next day and came to church that week and got baptized, although they had only given her days to live. And God gave her 2 more years with us right here at Lighthouse. And she was the meanest person that anybody ever knew, so they said, before she was saved. And we're talking about people that knew her well. But after she got saved, she was the sweetest person you ever met in your life. And when it came time to die, 2 years later, Carolyn was just about as happy as any person I ever met facing. They could have had their best Christmas and not been any happier than she was. She was excited about getting to see Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, she was. She was just, we were talking about it. She was, you know, what it's going to be like. And I mean, just bubbling with joy and about to die. Carolyn wasn't envying anybody. She was content. You know, to be like that all the time. There's hands up. I guess I'm going to shut up and get to some. Jamie, go ahead.
Thank you. My arm's getting tired. This is what might give us some content that will give us content, because I think this is what Paul hung on to. Romans 14:8, he says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, and he goes on and talks about how Christ died for us and he was revived.
Yeah.
That time. But
yeah,
that's a foundation for our contentment that we can count on, that regardless of what happens, it's going to be okay. Yeah.
Sometimes we're doing things and practicing things or failing to do things, and we know that it's not okay. And so, therefore, we envy. We're not content. Our joy is like thrown out the window when we could have a fullness of joy. What did John say when he wrote the book? He said, these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. That's what God wants for us. And we, through not being content, through not having done the things that will enable us to be content, throw it out the window. It only comes one way. It only comes by doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, where's the problem lie? Go back to what He said, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may trust. We all say we trust Jesus, and we all do, and we all have, far as I know. But we don't always trust Him that what He has for us is the best. When we're suffering, when we're saying, "Why, Lord?" You've been through the teeth, right? And what did God do through that? How did that turn out?
Eventually, a year later, it's okay.
Eventually, it's okay. Did you learn anything along the way?
I'm sure.
Did you stay possibly closer to the Lord during that suffering than you would have otherwise?
I don't know. I was heavily medicated during
that. Right. How hard is it for you to believe that going through that is what God has for you and it's the best for you? The circumstances don't always make it easy to believe that.
Yeah.
He has to slow me down somehow.
Well, there you go. But it either is the best or it's not. And God says it is. So do we believe Him or not?
We just don't understand.
Yeah. But you know what it is? Our actions and our response is what's going to tell us whether we believe Him or whether we don't. I don't always like the way that I turn out when that actually comes back around and I see it and have to look it in the face, okay? Gilbert, go ahead.
To me, it's like when you realize that Jesus is Lord and you accept these things as a whole, you also come to understand with the scriptures as Paul wrote or in Colossians, in Him we move and live and have our being. And we, with that, we have hinged to grace and mercy, which are unmerited. Then I reflect to examples that we have. One of the most suffered persons was Job. And he set us as an example before Jesus Christ ever came into being. And the Lord rescued him in spite of everything that he lost by remaining faithful to God.
Okay. All right. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Actually, a question. Mary?
What I want to say is that envy is like jealousy. Envy is
That's a synonym, actually.
Jealousy, they'll kill it. When you're in anger, you hit somebody. But jealousy will make you kill, destroy. It's worse than jealousy. That word envy is terrible.
Okay, we're going to jump to the next verse. Open rebuke is better than secret love. How in the world is open rebuke better than secret love?
Because it's more honest.
Okay. Explain that.
It's up front. I rebuke, this is how I feel, here it is. The other's done in secret.
Okay.
That's what I get out of it.
Exposure.
Is love designed to be secret? Bob?
Okay. Open rebuke. That rebuke is... trying to put you back in the right lane, if I can use that.
Well, that's correction.
Yes.
Okay, rebuke is...
It's correction.
Is like the first half of that process, mm-hmm. telling you you're in the wrong lane.
Yeah, you're about to say or you're about to do something that would be incredulous to your spiritual character.
All right, Joshua and then Clarissa.
Do you not openly rebuke the ones you love? Is that not showing you love?
We'll try to answer that with Scripture. Clarissa?
Love should be unconditional. So you can't love someone in secret and then when you're around the people, not love them, because it should be unconditional.
Okay. Let's read verse 6 and then we'll pick it back up. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. This kind of in line with what Joshua was asking. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Telling you the truth when you don't want to hear it, or when you don't like hearing it, like I'm fixing to do later today.
Yeah.
Sorry, but you know that, you know when Dad says it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you?
Yeah.
Well, in my case, with the preaching, it probably already has, okay, since I've already gone through it. Sherry?
I think it means that it's a sign of true relationship. If they're going to come to you in love and be there and tell you, then they have a true relationship. But if they're not going to tell you and they're just going to let you do it, then they don't really even care.
Well, I think there are some situations that might not be the most obvious thing that you're going to think about when you see this. Open rebuke. Did you ever get upset with anybody that rebuked you openly? Now, open rebuke. Think about that for a minute. Open rebuke is not the same as just rebuke. Is it? What's the difference?
You're letting them know.
You're doing it almost public.
Ah. Now you're sniffing up a whole new rabbit trail here. Does the Bible tell you to go to someone privately and tell them and rebuke them, tell them what they did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Does the Bible also frame out situations where you would do it publicly?
Yes.
Yes. If it does not work.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't work in private.
So which one is this? This is the open rebuke, better than secret love. Now, we haven't actually talked about examples of secret love. I don't know if we'll rate this mature or R, or it's not going to get a G, I don't think, but anyway.
It's like affairs.
Well,
affairs.
I don't think it's that kind of love that's talked about in this particular aspect. We'll look it up. And I think that there's a lot to be learned here. Maybe more than I want to know. And probably definitely more than I want to tell you or teach you. But I think there's some really good stuff that we could learn here. So we're going to pick this up at this spot next week. And if that doesn't make you want to be here to see what's going to happen, well, I don't know what kind of cliffhanger I could give you, but there's definitely some worthwhile things to be learned from this, I promise. Stay tuned next week, and we'll continue.
It's like that TV show that always ends on one part you want to see, and they just stop it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I try to do that if I can, so. Helps the attendance.